In 1995, over Christmas, I had the incredible privilege of going to see a friend of mine that was living in Ramallah at the time. And we traveled around. I was there for 3 weeks with her children. And we traveled around the country and saw lots of things, including we went to the Sea of Galilee and spent a few days in a hostel on the Sea of Galilee, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And one morning I looked out and saw this boat that was on the Sea of Galilee, and they were fishing. And I was so surprised because it looked to me like it was a boat like Jesus would have been in. They had a net out back. I mean, there's a motor on that boat, and Jesus didn't have a motor on his boat. But it was a lot like a boat that Jesus would have used. And Peter and others were fishermen, and that was something that they knew and did well. And just I just share that because it brought a smile to my face to see them still fishing much as Jesus would have fished in a boat with nets out back. You know, all of my fishings would have been with a fishing pole. And to see them catching fish with a net. And I know there are others that have done net fishing, but I just wanted to share that with you. We're going to go to the Sea of Galilee today in our message. Erica, could you turn me down just a little bit on my sound? I feel like I'm a little bit hot. And thank you. Doesn't need much. But we're going to go to John 21 and look at that story, which takes place along the Sea of Galilee. I'm not going to read that story because it will take more time than I want to read, but I'll tell it as a part of the message. You know, life was pretty confusing for the disciples after the resurrection. They needed time to think and to figure it all out. Jesus was crucified, and they really thought that he was dead. It was the end. He died on that cross. They saw him. But then he was alive again. I mean, they had seen him. Peter had seen Jesus alive, and so he was alive, but they were still a bit confused. Jesus' appearances were always short, and then he left again, and they never knew when he would come back, and what did it all mean? Often when life is confusing and we're unsure of where we stand, we tend to return to the familiar. Go back to something that we know that we know. And the disciples returned home. They went to Galilee. They went fishing. They went back to what they knew how to do. It was Peter's idea. He said, I'm going fishing. And I could just see Peter sitting around, and they're all talking about things and unsure of how this is going to play out and what it all means and how to wrap their heads around it. And Jesus has given them some instructions, but how do I live that out? And Peter just says, you know, he's kind of impulsive, and we've seen that throughout the Gospels. He says, I'm just going fishing. And James, John, Thomas, Nathaniel, and two more said, me too. So they took off for Galilee and what they knew and went fishing. They often fished at night, put their nets out and fished at night. That was a common thing to do. But it had been a long night. They'd been out all night and they had nothing to show for their work. As they came closer to the land, they saw someone that was standing on the shore with a small fire. And this person, they didn't know who it was. It was probably too far away to be able to see. This person shouted across the lake to see if they'd had any luck. No, they said, their nets were empty. And he told them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. Well, why not? It can't hurt. And suddenly, their nets were full of large fish. John looked up at the stranger on the shore. He remembered there was only one other man that had ever done this, that was able to do such a miracle. And he recognized this second miraculous catch because there had been another one, another time when they had been out fishing and they hadn't caught anything. And Jesus said, go out again, put your nets on the other side of the boat. And they caught a huge catch. That happened a long time before this story, but the memory was vivid. And John said to Peter, it is the Lord. Peter, he grabbed his coat that he had taken off and dived into the water. I always wondered why he grabbed his coat before he dived. But anyway, that's what it says. Peter made it to shore only to find a breakfast of fish and bread ready on the fire. And the disciples were close behind pulling in this large catch of fish. Peter was always the impulsive one, jumping into the lake and going to Jesus before he thought through if there was a better way to do it or anything else. Just, I'm getting there as fast as I can. But this, I mean, it may have had more to do with repentance than with zeal. Because at Peter's darkest hour, at Jesus' darkest hour, Peter had deserted him. Peter had gone back on his word. His last promise to Jesus was, I'll never deny you. I love you. I'll be there with you always. Nothing can shake that. He told Jesus that he would follow him anywhere. But then he denied him three times when he played it safe. Three times at the crucifixion when he was asked, aren't you one of them? Don't you know this man, Jesus? Aren't you one of his disciples? No, I don't know him. No, I don't know him. No, I'm not one of his followers. I don't know him. Three times he said he didn't know the person being crucified. And here Jesus is on the shore in familiar territory in his home area where they could go back to relating in a more familiar way. And Jesus is cooking breakfast and invites them to bring more fish and join them for breakfast. After breakfast, Jesus asks Peter a question. Peter, do you love me? Three times Jesus asked Peter this question. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Many times people have talked about the different kinds of love, and the agape love and the phileo love in Greek, and those two things are contrasted, and wondered if maybe Jesus was inviting Peter to a lesser kind of love because he shifts the third time to phileo instead of agape. But I'm not sure that that really is what took place. Both words are actually used of both God and humans. And both agape and phileo represent a deep love. Also, likely Jesus and Peter were speaking Aramaic, not Greek. Aramaic was the common language of the day. It was the language they would have spoken to one another. And Greek was the official language of the day. That's why the scriptures are written in Greek, is because that was the trade language, the language that you used beyond the common everyday language, the business language, the government language, those kinds of things. Rather, I think Jesus' question of, do you love me, Peter? It's kind of a in-your-face kind of question. A question that you can't get away from. A question that is personal and cuts through all the stuff. Goes right to the core, to the heart of the matter. I don't know about you, but I've been asked those questions by people and recognize that This is something that I can't ignore. I can't just walk away from. It's a question that haunts me, that speaks deep to my spirit. Jesus knows that Peter loves him, But he takes him back to love as the basis of knowing, back to this really foundational thing of saying, do you love me? And three times Peter is given to the chance to reaffirm for Jesus that he has denied him three times. That reaffirmed the love, you know, after he had denied him three times, to reaffirm the love three times. And in so doing, Jesus calls him to a new kind of love, a deeper love, an unconditional love. Three times Jesus tells Peter, feed my sheep. Jesus reminds Peter of his calling. You still have a place in my ministry. You didn't lose out. You didn't screw up and you're now written off. You still have place. Forgiveness is understood. It's interesting that Jesus never says, you are forgiven. It's pretty clear that Jesus is matching three times do you love me with three times that Peter denied Christ. So we don't miss the correlation. But Jesus never says, you screwed up back there. Let's have a little conversation about it. Don't do it again. Jesus never confronts him. He never asks him to say, I'm sorry. He never has a dialogue about that. He knows that Peter knows what he did. He knows all of that, and Jesus simply says, feed my sheep. He asks him three times. He goes to the source of his pain, but then he moves on. Feed my sheep. Jesus reaffirms that Peter is one of the disciples and reaffirms his calling. But he goes deeper than that. Jesus commissions Peter to be a shepherd rather than a fisherman. It's a challenge to a new way of life, a new kind of forgiveness, a new fruitfulness, a new way of following Jesus. Everything for Peter is going to get bigger and more demanding than it was before, even dangerous. Fishing is what they knew. It's what they had always done. It was their livelihood. And in the beginning, Jesus calls them to fish, but this time for people. Now Jesus is shifting it from the familiar to a completely new way of being. Jesus is asking them to take up Jesus' work as the shepherd, the good shepherd. Go and feed my sheep. Be the shepherd for these people. Peter's transformation from fisherman to shepherd comes as he faces his past. He faces the places that he didn't live up to that which he was invited to do. He faces his past, and in facing his own sin and receiving the forgiveness, Peter is given new work. So again, that without asking for repentance or forgiveness, Jesus matches the three denials and the three questions, and he meets Peter at his point of pain, at the place where he was hurting and broken. And in that, Jesus gives him a newly commissioned life, a new purpose, a new work for the kingdom. You will go forth as a changed person. He has already said to them, and we talked about this last week, receive the Holy Spirit. And that will come in a short period of time at Pentecost as the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes. But even now, he is saying that Peter is to take up Jesus' work as the shepherd. He is to go forth as a shepherd and feed the sheep, feed the followers of Jesus. It will be harder and all-consuming and even dangerous, but very important work. And we only have to read ahead into the book of Acts to see that Peter does take on a new role. He becomes a new person. He is transformed through this experience, through Pentecost, through the filling of the Holy Spirit, and through living into that which he is called to be and do. Go and feed my sheep. Live as the good shepherd. Be a shepherd to the people. It lands him in jail. It gets him in big trouble. He has all kinds of trials and tribulations, but God is with him, and his ministry is powerful as he leads the church and becomes the one who helps to articulate way forward for the people that are gathered. And to all the followers of Jesus, we face this same question. We can continue as we were, as we've done in the past. Or we can face the searching questions, those in-your-face kind of questions that bring you face to face with the living Christ. Questions that you can't just shove off and move on. Questions that are both incredibly personal and speak directly to our individual conditions, and yet questions that propel us into a new way of living and being, of being faithful to follow Jesus. Do you love me? Do we allow Jesus to go to that place where we are broken? To the root of our rebellion or denial or sin or brokenness, whatever it is that's the source of our pain, that place where we struggle. And in honestly answering the question, do you love me? We are both forgiven and given new work to do. It is simply in answering the question, yes, I love you. Yes, I love you, Jesus. Yes, I love you. That we are healed and forgiven and given new work to do. We too are invited to take up the work of the Good Shepherd, the work of Jesus, to go forth and feed the sheep. And like for Peter, it will be much greater work than before and demand everything of us. It is work to bring about the kingdom of God here on earth. As Jesus and Peter walk along, then Peter looks back and sees John following them, and Peter gets competitive, and his competitive spirit rises up and asks, well, what about him? We sometimes do that too. That's not the point, Jesus says. You follow me. We all identify with Peter because he's so obviously human that many of us enjoy the stories of Peter and we're drawn to this person that we can really relate to. And the truth is, we all have a past. We've all done things we regret. We wish we could remove them from history, but we can't. We've all failed at one time or another to follow Christ the way that we've intended to follow, that we wanted to follow. And Jesus gives us all the opportunity to move past that. Jesus comes to us wherever we are, wherever we've run to hide, wherever we've gone to say, this is familiar, this is back home, I can just do my thing and forget all. Jesus is there as well. And Jesus shows himself to us in familiar ways that break through the barriers that we often put up, that break through those places where we feel like we're not enough, and so we keep shoving past and saying, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. We push past those, and yet Jesus comes to us in familiar ways. Will show himself to us in a way that we can see, every one of us. And how God shows himself to me, how Jesus reveals himself to me can be entirely different than how God reveals himself to you. Because Jesus comes to us in ways that are individual. Forgiveness is understood for us too. We are forgiven. Absolutely and completely. We don't have to go into a long, but, I just screwed up here. This is what I did. Jesus simply says, "Do you love me?" And in that, we are forgiven. There's nothing more that we need to do. We are forgiven. It's understood. Do you love me? It's here that Jesus is in our face. It's not when we first meet him, but we are now followers of Jesus. We've been journeying with God for some time. Jesus knows that we love him, but Jesus takes us past the stuck place, past the place where we've drug our heels, where we've said, Jesus takes us past the stuck place and says, "Do you love me?" And as we say yes, immediately Jesus reaffirms our calling, our purpose, our place, that which we have been given to do, and gives us new work that is all-consuming, that is ours to do. Follow me, be my people, live as my people, feed my sheep, live as I lived, take up my work, be the shepherd for my sheep. Let me live fully in you and through you. Your life will change and be full of my work. This demanding work will bring about the kingdom of God. To those of us gathered in this room, Jesus says it will bring about the kingdom of God here in Seattle, because here is where we are. And I believe that Jesus is calling us as North Seattle Friends to take our full place as leaders in the kingdom of God. Not to sit back and say, "Well, we're not big enough really to do much. And yeah, it's a nice place for me to show up on Sundays. And I like the people that are gathered there." I firmly believe that Jesus has work for us to do that is powerful and life-changing. And he's called us and gathered us, and through this season is strengthening us, is making us sturdy, is giving us everything we need. It's as if we've been spending those years with Jesus as the disciples, walking with Jesus. And yet, Jesus continues to work in us and through us and says, "I have something more for you to do. Do you love me? Do you love me? Then go and feed my sheep. You are the shepherd. I live in you and through you. Feed my sheep." Let's wait in open worship and listen to the Good Shepherd who is here, and who is calling us and giving us task, giving us work to do that we must follow. Let us listen and invite Jesus to share with us what it is that are both those questions for us as well as our work. Let us wait. If you are prompted to share, ask for the microphone and it will be brought to you.